It is round 11 of the VFL this weekend. We're not quite up to round 13 like the AFL because we start a little bit later. And
we've had buys and split rounds and that sort of thing.
Yeah, we're up to round 11. And as you mentioned, our focus on Sunday afternoon will be the interesting clash.
17 losses between them.
Well, you know, you look at a game like that, and obviously, I guess we are the primary radio broadcaster of the VFL, with both support from 3WBC and livevfl.com.au when they're broadcasting. So, yeah, look, it's a weekend that's going to see at least one of these teams win. Hopefully, it doesn't result in a draw. But you'd imagine that the way things are going, it might be Shannon Grant's first win of 2009. But there's an interesting article about the Bendigo Bombers, and it's, you know, we've discussed it not in great lengths, but we've discussed where we think their future is and where it's going. And we did put a call out to the Bendigo president to join us on the program, Jim, and he declined, saying,
"Oh, not so much declined. I didn't get back. He didn't get back to us."
Oh, okay.
So there's no decline.
Oh, I thought that
he didn't decline. He just didn't get back to us. So that'll be rectified in the future, hopefully.
So there's an article in the Bendigo Advertiser just going through that they're happy with the current discussions with Essendon, but they definitely can't guarantee the club's future beyond 2009. So this might be the last time that we actually see this fixture on the VFL calendar, because you wouldn't imagine that Bendigo would be able to go alone next year in the competition.
So the options are
AFL Victoria.
Essendon aligned with Bendigo, Bendigo on their own, Essendon on their own, and out of the competition altogether.
For Bendigo.
Now, which one's probably raging hot favourite?
Well, I mean, there's talk that Essendon and Frankston might align, but, I mean, I don't know about that one.
No, that's too geographically all over the place.
Yeah,
but then again,
we mentioned the Essendon brand, though. This is what we have to realise. It's the Essendon brand. I mean, you could go play Collingwood anywhere in nearly Australia, probably, in a competition, and you'd get Collingwood fans through the gate. Essendon's up to that same sort of level, you'd imagine, and it's the Essendon brand. They can move there. They might see that as potential tapping into what's, you know, predominantly been a Hawthorn, St Kilda sort of dominated area in terms of support down there in the Mornington Peninsula. So, yeah, it's although nowhere near Windy Hill, it might be a new base down there. And I guess the ones who would be worried about Essendon moving into the Mornington Peninsula would be the St Kilda Football Club, who have spent money redeveloping that Seaford facility and are hoping to, you know, obviously already having support in that Moorabbin area, since that's where the real heart of St Kilda lies. You'd imagine that they'd be a little bit concerned that a team that's considered, and I guess St Kilda's getting themselves towards that top four zone, aren't they? They're not so much in support, because Richmond and Carlton would probably still have higher attendances, but definitely in terms of where they stand, you'd imagine in the next 5 years St Kilda could turn into one of those top four powerful AFL sides. Talking of the AFL, though, Carlton. How much can you blame Elliott for their performance last night? I say very little.
No, they weren't very good last night.
They've been ordinary for a long time. And their close results, I think, have been flattering, really, because that was...
Well, 13 goals to 2 after half-time says it all.
But it was just the lacklustre of... And it's funny, is it? Is it the hoodoo of Houlihan? Because Houlihan missed that shot on goal against St Kilda, and St Kilda went and kicked a goal and sealed the game. And he missed that shot on goal going into half-time, Houlihan, which, although hard, so for someone of his ilk, should have gone back and did at least a better effort than that.
Yeah.
Out of bounds on the full. I think young Bryce Eichold sitting in the main studio.
He'll be very happy with himself. He'll be happy with himself. He's an Essendon supporter.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Oh, well, we'll move on from Essendon. Yeah.
Wouldn't have experienced too many wins in his lifetime.
But aren't they an incredible unit? You know, like, the spirit that Matthew Knights is generating out at Windy Hill at the moment, a lot of those young kids were doing things just beyond their cap. Not so much, I'm not going to say beyond their capabilities, because they showed they could do it, but beyond where they stood on the AFL football field last night, you know, Piers dashing away from Favola, and Carl Hooker's gone up a couple of notches. It seems whoever's playing Melbourne recently gets played into form. I mean, a lot of those young kids are definitely beaming with confidence. And what I like about Essendon, not much about their supporters, but in terms of the football club, they've got big bodies that can get the ball out. I mean, they lost Joe Watson last night early in the game and still managed to...
They had 16 possessions to half-time and didn't get a kick after half-time because he didn't get back on the ground.
Well, he went off with about 15 minutes left of the second quarter or something, I think.
He played the whole first half.
Oh, no, I saw him. Well, when I watched...
He came back.
I watched the last at least 5 minutes of the second half and he was off.
Okay. But he definitely came back for a little while after he... After he hurt his ankle.
So he, it's a situation where Essendon are probably going to finish in the finals now, and two more fancy...
A little bit of a tough draw. Not as tough as Hawthorn's, who are in the same boat as Essendon. Essendon and Hawthorn probably travelling at the same...
On their performance last night, you'd say...
Essendon are miles in front.
No, but you'd say Essendon would... would nearly go in as favourites next week against Collingwood, depending on their performance. Collingwood have been good against weaker opposition.
Yep. So you've got to be good against your weaker opposition.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not so much that Buckley tag where they lose games or are expected to win, but, you know, they're not going as well as could be. I mean, there's a lot of improvement in Collingwood to come through, I think, where we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks.
Pendlebury's a big loss.
He's a prime mover he uses the ball so much better than a lot of their other midfielders. I mean, you know, Dane Swan's a good worker, but he can turn it over, and Dale Thomas is just not big enough for this level at the moment. He can't compete. I mean, he can get the ball in space and do some dazzling things, but in terms of one-on-one contests with the games won, that's where Essendon are so good. They win their one-on-one contests all the time, which they build pressure by doing that. I mean, last night, 22 of Essendon players were beating Carlton's 22 players. Even Chris Judd was nullified. So, you know, that's a wonderful performance for a team like that for the Bombers. But we are talking about the VFL, Jim, and there's an interesting review here going through the teams and how they're travelling for 2009. We've got Ryan O'Connor joining us a little bit later on in the program. We'll discuss the changes down at Coburg and their disappointing result last weekend against Port Melbourne. So as we do here on the Saturday morning VFL footy show on KC Radio 97.7 FM, let's start talking about some VFL. And there was some interesting news through the week. I couldn't actually get there, Jim, but fantastic initiative by AFL Victoria and the CFA. They've... became partners, and
very good choice of partners for both entities.
I think it's a very important.
Well, they're both big in the community.
Well, they're fantastic in the community, aren't they? Really. That's a great initiative, and it was released on Tuesday. All the head honchos were there, so congratulations to everybody. And it's going to be an interesting rest of the season. I think it's just a. The CFA brand and the VFL brand will be stuck together and promoted throughout Victoria, so it's going to be a good avenue. Last weekend, round 10 of the VFL, we'll probably get Peter Harley or one of the guys, maybe even John Hook back on the program and discuss that partnership going forward. But round 10 of the VFL did throw up some interesting results. The ABC game last weekend, we're expecting a closer contest, and Port Melbourne really did get back into some form. They jumped back into third position with their comprehensive victory over the Coburg Tigers. It was the Borough, 18-14, 122, defeating Coburg, 12-5-77. Robbins kicking four there, and Tim Clark kicking three for Coburg. Williamstown versus Geelong was a one-sided affair in the broadcast game last weekend in pretty wintry conditions. If you're a Williamstown supporter and you woke up and read some of the articles that were published about this game, you would have been in hysteria. They said, I won't mention the journalists, because, we probably shouldn't, but we probably would if it was Craig Hutchison that wrote it, so maybe we should, because it's not the first time this gentleman's posted or written things that aren't quite true.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously not at the game, and he's reported that Ace Cordy was stretchered off the ground.
Was he?
Was he?
No.
No. Ace Cordy,
he ran off.
It would have seemed that he actually injured his quad or upper thigh area or maybe his groin when he went off the ground. The way he was hobbling out of the contest. He did look injured.
Oh, he was definitely injured, but he wasn't. There was no stretchers in our game.
By no means was he stretchered off the ground.
Absolutely not.
And to follow this up, stretchered off the ground basically means you're a casualty that sits on a stretcher and gets put into the ambulance.
Yeah.
He went to the bench, and it was at the end of...
Off his own steam.
It was at the end of the third quarter, I think. The teams went out to break for three-quarter time. And Ace Cordy, because we were in the grandstand, he walked past the grandstand and out the back and into a car and gone. So just to clear that story up, that said he was stretchered off the ground with a serious neck injury. This isn't downplaying the injury.
I've got a more serious neck injury than he's got. No, I got it from sneezing.
Well, we're not saying anything about his neck injuries or anything like that because that could have happened and we're not too sure. But in terms of what was reported of him going off in a stretcher in a very serious condition was not true.
Yeah, especially if you're a member of his family and you weren't at the ground.
But, I mean, Ace Cordy's their father and son, you know, the next ruckman to join Will Minson, and he's been doing terrific things on the field at VFL level and really developing his game. You wouldn't like to read that. That'd be like Jack Watts going down or Tyron Vickery if you're a Coburg or Richmond supporter. You know, it's just not good journalism. If you're not at the game...
Be careful.
Make sure your information's correct before you go with it, or get your sources.
Don't hesitate to ring Kane or Jim.
Or just, I mean, there's been some
just to confirm
journalists
some...
in time that we've spoken to that have covered the VFL that have actually listened to the game when they can't get there. So, I mean, and you could always podcast if we don't get it up that quickly, but maybe in the future we should.
That should be handled a little bit more better in the future.
Williamstown, talking about the broadcast game, was over at half-time. The Cats just couldn't kick straight and get themselves back into the game in that second quarter. At half-time, it was Williamstown 8-9 to Geelong 2-8, and Podsiadly's 175th game. 175th membership.
Yep,
I was just thinking of David Pitt, who's bringing up his life membership today, if he plays, I think. So Williamstown, 20 goals, 16, 136. Defeated the Cats, 10 goals, 15, 75. Little, once again, in impressive form, kicking six. I've labelled him as probably a likely candidate if he continues his form to be really under the radar of some AFL clubs. He's been there before, and he's improved his game a lot, and he's contested possession, and also his ability to get up the ground and create some pressure inside forward 50 has been good this year. Him and Paddy Rose combined for 9 goals once again. Those two guys are on fire. Box Hill versus Sandringham.
Just getting back to the Geelong. Did Stokes pick up 38 possessions?
I wouldn't have thought so.
That's what was on the news.
Yeah, and he got
Stokes,
on ground,
38 possessions. I don't think he got 38 possessions. And if he did, half of them weren't effective.
Well, they've put Tanase in there as well. Tanase's lacklustre performance looked like he didn't care, and he should not be playing in the VFL at the moment. Yep. He is penalising his team at Kane Tanase.
Yep.
The games we've seen him play this year, he's turned over. He'd be going at about 30% in terms of accuracy of disposal, and that's not exaggerating it. He is. Yep. He can't hit a target, and he's turning it over.
And I think, and this is my opinion, Geelong are too top heavy.
For the VFL. I wouldn't even thought that. Their ball use was terrible, and you know, too often they were second to the football.
That's because they're too top-heavy. They're too slow.
Oh.
There's some pretty quick Williamstown players, and some of them are also AFL-listed players, and they were, always leading the Geelong players, and the Geelong players just looked too oversized. They looked like they had about 8 ruckmen playing.
I think Geelong's fortune will be dictated to by the performance of James Podsiadly. Pods doesn't play well at Burbank Oval. We can confirm that after his performance when he went to win the Frosty last year.
Doesn't
he didn't
like
do
the windy
it.
Conditions.
And struggled again, last weekend. Yep. Got moved back.
With the same sort of wind.
When you say top heavy, they've got Trent West, that big Simpkins. They've got...
Podsiadly.
Ben Johnson.
Lonergan.
And Lonergan.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know, because, I mean, Port Melbourne go in with a very, very big side, and some of their midfielders aren't fleet of foot. I just think the Cats penalise themselves with terrible ball use. And, unfortunately, what's happening to some of these teams is they're getting caught in zones and they're unable or not skillful enough to actually beat them.
Yeah.
And they continue to turn the ball over. Like the amount of times that Geelong couldn't get the ball forward, which meant Williamstown just kept peppering the goals. Yeah, it was a disappointing day for Geelong. But, you know, they've had three wins, currently two games out of the eight. But the season's not over, but they'd have to improve a lot on what we saw last weekend.
And that our goals in the last quarter flatters Geelong. They weren't an eight-goal last quarter team on Saturday, last Saturday.
Good point. Yeah, that's all right. No, I agree. Now, it was the split round last weekend. It went for 2 weeks. It was a marathon. It
went forever, didn't it?
It did. But the final game of the split round was at Box Hill City Oval. And the Hawks, well, they continued to impress. They were a very tight game at half time, but Sam Gibson led the charge, kicking five goals for the Hawks. They won 19-10, 124, defeated Sandringham 15-7, 97. Now, we won't need to go through the results from the first week, do we, Jim? We covered that last week.
No, we covered that last week.
Go straight into...
we've got to get to our three interviews if we can contact
them. We might leave the messages just in case we can't get through, because we might have a chat to them tomorrow at the game. We were going to try and get Shannon Grant and also Adrian Hickmott onto the program this morning. Adrian probably would have been involved with Essendon last night, so I think it might be a little bit unfair trying to get in contact with him this morning. And Shannon Grant, yeah, we haven't confirmed that one, so we will try and arrange those details for tomorrow's game. So it will be Frankston versus Bendigo. I think we're showing our support for the VFL by doing it, Jimbo.
No hesitation in doing the game.
But, huh?
No hesitation in actually doing the game.
No, but, there's always hesitation when you look at their results. We'll go through the ladder.
Yeah, but one of them could have a win and...
Yeah, I know. Over there.
And bring back the sleeves and...
I remember that game, Frankston versus Box Hill. We were a little bit reluctant and got there. It was a draw. First time I broadcast a draw. Things happen at Frankston Park. And you should get down there and support the Dolphins and buy some raffle tickets and buy a couple of hot dogs and a couple of beers if you're going there. Obviously... responsibly consume your alcohol and don't drink and drive, but have a couple of beers, a couple of froffies, and support the Frankston Footy Club, because it could be a cracker of a game down there the tomorrow afternoon, Frankston versus Bendigo. Why don't we start from the bottom of the ladder? Phone's ringing. Bendigo. They've actually had two buys now, the Bendigo Bombers, for that split weekend. So
I have.
Now, Bendigo are 8. And Frankston, 9 games without a win. We've mentioned that, 17 between them. Then it's Geelong, Werribee on 3 wins. Sandringham on 4 outside the 8. Inside the 8, we've got 3 teams all logged on 5 wins. Logjam there, separated by... Listen to this for just a small amount of percentage. Casey Scorpions, 8th, 5 wins, and a percentage of 108.67. Collingwood sitting in 6th position. They're on 109.4, so very tight. There for those teams. Now, the teams with 6 wins are Port Melbourne, Box Hill and the Northern Bull Ants. Now, Port Melbourne, Box Hill and the Northern Bull Ants are separated by 6%. So, between 3rd and 8th, it's going to be an absolute interesting run home there, Jim. We might have to focus that on next weekend's program. We'll go through and give you a bit of a run home guide and see where we might think where these teams will finish, because it's going to be an interesting race home. We've got Williamstown. They're in between those teams. They're on 7 wins, with the healthiest percentage in the comp. Their amount of scores they've kicked this year, their 4 is 1,093, and they're against a 744. Gives them a percentage of 146.91. At the halfway mark of the season, that's a wonderful performance.
Yep.
Then we have North Ballarat sitting on top on 32 points with a healthy percentage themselves of 126. The goal kickers, 2 round 11, Nick Sortner perched on top with 41. Can he get 100, Jim? Give us a mid-year prediction.
No.
Matthew Little, he's kicked 6 goals last week. He jumps in front of Podsiadli for second place. He's on 36 goals. James Podsiadli on 35. Patrick Rose kicked 3. He's on 26. Jay Schultz, who's kicked big bags this year, 7 twice, I think he's kicked Jay Schultz. He's on 24. Goals with 3 last week. Chris Bryan, Michael Wunke, and Marty Pask all had the weekend off. They're the next few positions there with 22, and Wunke and Pask both on 19 respectively. So you'd think the race would come down to Sortner being fit and Matthew Little's mid-season form if we can continue that, they'll be in a great shape. Now, I think Stagner's called through. Are we going to have him on the program to discuss? Or
no, there's no one there.
No one's there. Okay. He's given a message to young Bryce Eichold. We thank Stagner for his contribution so far on the program this year, our Box Hill correspondent, Jimbo.
Stagner wants a Sandy Box Hill preview. Hold on, was that a review?
Review?
Review, because it was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, okay. Well, Stanger's hung up, and we weren't there, so we can't really give you too much of a review, but we went through the results there for you, Stanger. You're probably on the phone. Where did I put last week's results? So Sam Gibson kicked 5. He would have been all over the field for you, Stanger, kicking some goals. Peterson in the ruck continues his great form. Whitecross, who returns. Stanger's man, Smithwick, he kicked 2. Uze apparently dominated the first half of the game and then got well checked. Strong performance by Box Hill against a team like Sandringham at home. They continue their great form at home. Box Hill's better players were Kennedy and Gibson. And I think Eminem, McQueen Muscamble, one of Casey Radio's favourites, he did a great performance on Nick Thornton and restricting him to only 2 goals. So 8-3 in the third quarter. Box Hill really did show some skill. Apparently, there was a phonetic pace. I did read a review on this, actually, Stanger. I can give you one from VFL Football, VFLfooty.com. Kindly joined us in 2009, haven't they, providing podcasts and updates. And We thank David Lumley and all those guys for their support this year. And you can get a lot of information from VFLfooty.com if you want to have a quick check-up about the VFL. And Chris was... our own Chris Weaver wrote a report on it. He loves to get his journalistic pen out there and give a review when he's out at the football. And he said that the Box Hill Sandringham game was one of the fastest games he's seen in 2009. It was an even contest at half time, but after that, Box Hill were just too strong and had plenty of run. And a good performance by Box Hill, because Sandringham were desperate for a win. They went into the game at 4-4, and that win would have put them back into the 8. They couldn't do so. Have a healthy percentage at 123.89. So Sandringham really put some pressure on the Casey Scorpions, Coburg and Collingwood for some of those final positions.
And there's an important thing. The seconds for Box Hill won by 104 points and have sneaked back into the finals, whatever. They've got a final 6, haven't they?
Final 5, is it?
Final 5.
So. I don't know. I didn't get the reserve results in mine. Yours is a better copy. Even your stapler worked on yours.
Final 6.
The Saturday morning VFL football show here. Round 11. We'll follow the lead from the VFL record. Great publication. And Adrian Dunn, who's been on the program a couple of times now, does do his darndest work compiling this every week for us. And... well, the first team on the top of the alphabet chart is the Bendigo Bombers, Jimbo. Their record this year is 0-8, currently sitting in 13th and bottom of the ladder. At home, obviously haven't won. On the road, obviously haven't won. Quarters won this year. They've won 4 and lost 28. Their best quarter is the third, where they've won 2 of them against and only lost 6. And the worst quarter, haven't won a first quarter all season. The goal kicker so far is Lucas with 10 goals, so that just shows how bad they're struggling. I guess we don't really want to harp on too long for the Bendigo Bombers. They've obviously had 100-point losses to both Sandringham and Williamstown this year and got thumped by the North Ballarat side by 91. So, yeah, it really has been a disappointing...
It's back to that 2002 season, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Like 4 times this year, Bendigo have failed to kick double-digit goals while conceding more than 20 goals 4 times. So that sort of performance has been very disappointing, and I guess this weekend gives them a chance to try and notch their first win of the season. Let's just move right along here to Stanger's Mob, the Box Hill Hawks, and their form continues at home. They've won 4 straight. They haven't lost, and that doesn't surprise you. Their record is 6-3, and on the road they have won twice and lost 3 times. So they have been fantastic. Their quarters have been very even so far. Yep, so quickly going through the Box Hill Hawks, Smithwick on 19 goals and Peterson on 17. And after a disappointing season in 2008, new coach and new blood of players have seen the Box Hill Hawks really put themselves In a fantastic position. Adam Uze has been great, and Marco Bello at the age of 32 is really competing well. Been impressed by a lot of their players. This is an interesting outlook. This is what they've written in the record, Stanger. Well, the Box Hill are well positioned. The draw has been favourable, and they're yet to play North Ballarat at Williamstown, who they meet in round 14 and 15, and then they return with a game against Port Melbourne. So they have a really big test going towards the end of the season, and you'd imagine that the Box Hill Hawks will find out exactly where they are going into September action.